happened to you, and to the staff of my mega ministry, the ministry that everyone envies on this side of the house, Mr. Speaker, and to all of our people, of my people, from St. John, and to the youths of this Tri-Island seat. Mr. Speaker, a wise woman once shared a scripture with me as a young girl, and it never left. And this afternoon, I want to take this opportunity to share it with everyone here and those who are viewing. And that scripture verse goes like this. And I'm sorry that most of the members on the other side of the house is not here to hear that scripture. But the scripture verse goes, "Let no one despise you for your youth." Let me repeat. "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And so, Mr. Speaker, at a time when youths and young adults around the world are stepping up and taking the mantle of leadership, and I can give you examples, like 36-year-old Sanna Marin, President of Finland, 19-year-old Greta Thunberg, environmental activist, 23-year-old Lakia Joseph, recently elected Member of Parliament in Dominica, and is currently the youngest. She has broken a record that we set in Grenada. She has become the youngest in the region to be elected. And among the many others, like myself, Mr. Speaker, who instead of waiting on trapped leaders trapped in the 90s to provide us with 21st century leadership, we took the bold step and offered ourselves for service to the people of this nation, and we should not be disrespected for that. And so, Mr. Speaker, to the young man and to the young woman who is watching or listening today, I want to tell them, ignore the noise of those who have many years behind them than in front of them, and stay the course that you charted since June 23rd, 2022. Mr. Speaker, it is against this backdrop that I rise to support the motion of the Honorable Minister for Finance for delivering an excellent budget under the theme Vision 2035. And perhaps the other members, if they used to stay inside and read, like we were told to when the presentations were made, the theme is Vision 2035, people-centered transformation, laying the foundation for resilience, empowerment, and growth. Mr. Speaker, this theme is quite appropriate, and the programs and the projects proposed by our ministries are in keeping with this theme. Mr. Speaker, I am confident we have carefully studied what was to know, Mr. Speaker, that we cannot come in this honorable house and reiterate it, because in most instances it has failed us as young people and as citizens of this Tri-Island state. And so in this breath, Mr. Speaker, we have studied and we realize that we have the capacity and the resources to achieve all of our ministerial mandates. Mr. Speaker, I am in this honorable house as a result of the trust and confidence of the people of St. John. It took only 12 persons, well, it was 7 first, then it went to 12. And my presiding officer, who was doing the final check for me, Mr. Speaker, he said perhaps if they stayed another few hours, maybe the votes would have increased in my favor. But it took 12 persons, Mr. Speaker, 12 brave persons in St. John to bring genuine and honest representation to St. John. And though the win would have been sweeter if it was just one vote difference, Mr. Speaker, my representation for my constituency would not have been any less. I am indeed grateful for having been given this opportunity to serve my beloved constituents at this level. And I am pleased, Mr. Speaker, to report on the achievements of my ministry to the nation. Mr. Speaker, please permit me to take this opportunity to thank our Prime Minister for assigning me the portfolios of climate resilience, the environment, and renewable energy. Mr. Speaker, the portfolios are cross-cutting across all economic sectors. And I was very happy, Mr. Speaker, to hear how the former Minister of Agriculture spoke so passionately. And if only, Mr. Speaker, through you, if only we implemented all of those talks, our work to lay the foundation to build resilience and to transform our agricultural sector and all of the other economic sectors would not have been that hard. Too much talk and no action. And that is why we are here, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I am confident and I know that my ministerial team, the hard-working staff, very limited though, but we fixed that too. We fixed that. Who I thank and I appreciate dearly, and they are here today. They are mindful, Mr. Speaker, of the stewardship expected from all of us, not only in the ministry, but also our stakeholders at the community level and the private sector. Mr. Speaker, we give account based on the principle that we must utilize our natural resources and assets in a sustainable manner for future generations. Mr. Speaker, the allocations for the portfolios under this ministry for the fiscal year of 2022 were $7,727,823, of which recurrent expenditure was $639,598, and capital expenditure was $7,088,225. Mr. Speaker, I am very pleased to announce that for the fiscal year of 2023, the allocation is significantly increased to $10,415,235, of which recurrent expenditure is $1,940,235, and capital expenditure is $8,447,000. Mr. Speaker, though some of us in this honorable house might have scared the public to really to know and scared them to think that spending money is bad, but I believe in investment and in good investment. And in order for you to reap rewards, you must invest in your people and you must invest in the tools needed for you to succeed. And so, Mr. Speaker, this is a much needed and necessary increase of $2,687,412 difference from 2022 to carry out the mandate of this important ministry. Mr. Speaker, the mission of the ministry is to be the premier agency of government, mainstreaming climate, biodiversity, and the environment. And may I add, renewable energy interventions in partnership with the public and private sectors and civil society, mobilizing resources and leading actions that will minimize the impacts of climate change at all levels of society. Our vision, our vision is to be a nation that is a model of sustainable development for small island developing states, where the environment is protected and preserved for the use and enjoyment of present and future generations. Mr. Speaker, in order to achieve the mission and vision of this ministry, we implement an ambitious policy and legislative agenda. For climate resilience and the environment, this includes an update of the National Adaptation Plan. We aim to develop a resource mobilization strategy. We also aim to update the Nationally Determined Contributions Plan. We aim to implement an environmental education and capacity building program focused on the value of nature and environmental stewardship. We also aim, Mr. Speaker, to develop and implement a pollution control program. We aim to develop and implement an integrated environmental protection program, to ratify and implement the Escazo Agreement, to ratify and implement the Access and Benefit Sharing Protocol, to update and implement the National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan, to develop and implement a gene bank program to support biodiversity protection, and the enactment of a bill to support the phasing out of ozone-depleting substances. Mr. Speaker, for renewable energy, we will develop and implement a national transition plan to a low-carbon economy. We will also revise the national energy policy. We aim to launch the Grenada Energy Management Information System, develop and implement the Energy Efficiency Act, work with the Ministry of Finance to amend the Public Procurement Act to include provisions for green procurement, and to continue the implementation of the geothermal energy development project in sync with the proposed Natural Resources Management Bill. Mr. Speaker, with all that has been said, it will be a dynamic 2023. And Mr. Speaker, we are ready to do what is required. Mr. Speaker, for capacity development, the Ministry has received support from the Department of Public Administration, and I am very pleased to announce that the organizational structure is approved. This allows us to make arrangements to hire 12 additional staff to assist in carrying out our mandate. In that regard, the capacity development of the staff of the Ministry will be a strategic exercise in 2023. So we're not just hiring people just for hiring people's sake, Mr. Speaker, as what the perception is in this Honorable House. We will execute training sessions, workshops, and seminars through partnerships with local, regional, and international institutions. This is imperative as human capital development is a driver for growth, and the transfer of knowledge will ensure consistency of the quality of service delivery. Mr. Speaker, with regards to the major projects and programs, the Ministry of Climate Resilience, the Environment, and Renewable Energy is positioned as a strategic department to support our government's transformational agenda. And some members of this Honorable House, through you, Mr. Speaker, doesn't really understand. And this is our job, to educate and re-educate our citizens. They are included. Mr. Speaker, we live through the COVID-19 pandemic. We know it was not easy, but we are resilient people. However, we must not forget the threats to our economy, the threats to our country, and the threats to the health and well-being of our people, starting with, Mr. Speaker, the environmental and climate crisis. SIDS, or let me break it down, small island developing states, position on vulnerability and special circumstances remains relevant, Mr. Speaker. Access to climate finance whenever we are hit or whenever we want to prepare ourselves for the climate crisis that we face, the loss and damage facility, adaptation and mitigation options as well, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, our susceptibility to the impacts of natural hazards, combined with our energy security issues as it relates to accessibility, availability, and reliability of renewable energy and energy efficiency technologies. Mr. Speaker, the Tri-Island State stands to be one of the most severely affected by the negative impacts of a warming world, while being one of the least equipped to cope. This is why one key priority for 2023 is to ensure a meaningful presence at the International Climate and Biodiversity Negotiations, even with the daunting challenges and difficulties we are being faced with daily. It remains imperative, Mr. Speaker, not just to participate in the global efforts to address climate change and loss of biodiversity, but also to play a central role in challenging the current inadequacies in the international response to date for both climate and biodiversity crises, and in pressing for greater action and support to Grenada, as well as other vulnerable countries like Grenada, to ensure our future. For resilient islands, Mr. Speaker, through the support of the German Federal Ministry for the Environment, under their International Climate Initiative, the Nature Conservancy, the International Federation of the Red Cross, and the Government of Grenada, and we go give them kudos for that. Construction has commenced on the first climate smart renewable energy fisher facility to be located in the low-lying coastal community of Subis, St. Andrew, under the Resilient Islands Project. And I'm sure the member on the other side is quite indeed happy for that project in the constituency. Mr. Speaker, the intention is to replicate and scale up this pilot project in other areas once successfully completed, starting with the constituency of St. John. Another component of this initiative is the Subis Area Jetty and Pilot Shoreline Stabilization Project. This is intended to reduce coastal erosion by replanting mangroves, as well as building out a 300-meter reef array and restoring living coral to the existing reef. This should provide, Mr. Speaker, a natural barrier to storm surges and wave actions that can cause coastal erosions. Mr. Speaker, it is equally important to note that my ministry has secured funding from the United Nations Environment Programme as co-executing agency for the JEF-funded program, which is an integrated approach to water and wastewater management in the wider Caribbean region using innovative solutions and sustainable financing mechanisms. Mr. Speaker, this project will address the problems of the existing wastewater system at Loch Alom in St. David, in the housing scheme to be exact. These actions, Mr. Speaker, will help to improve water quality in the nearby river and coastal ecosystems. Mr. Speaker, the Tri-Island State's biological diversity, plants and animals in our waters and on land underpin our tourism, as you loudly hear through the member on the other side, through you, Mr. Speaker. Agriculture, it underpins yachting and maritime sectors. Work will continue to promote synergies among multilateral environmental agreements to support sound environmental management of our marine and terrestrial living resources, Mr. Speaker. Grenada, in collaboration with the Center for Environment, Fisheries and Aquaculture Studies, or CFAS, is employing new technology to support improved coastal ecosystem mapping and monitoring. Mr. Speaker, several public education and awareness activities to highlight the importance and value of ecosystems and to discuss what can be done to address loss of fruit species, medicinal plant species, assess health of various pollinators such as bees, insects, birds, and bats were conducted. Capacity building sessions were carried out with the CSOs and community members to increase resilience to the effects of climate change and how to access climate finance from the Green Climate Fund. Mr. Speaker, the Ministry remains committed to enforcing the Non-Biodegradable Waste Control Act of 2018. The drafting of a manual to guide capacity building on single-use plastics to support compliance was completed in collaboration with the Plastic Waste Free Islands Project. Mr. Speaker, I am happy to mention, and I am happy that the former member of from the other place during that time is here as well, and my good comrade minister is here as well. And we should be happy that we were members of the other house when this bill was passed, so we are very familiar. And we are aware, or we should be aware, of the challenges we face in implementing and enforcing this act. And I want to ensure the people of this country, because during my first few weeks in office, Mr. Speaker, a lot of people came to me with complaints. And I feel it for them, because most of the people that came, Mr. Speaker, they are small business owners who were in the business long before this act came into play. And I can assure them, and I am assuring them, Mr. Speaker, that the issues surrounding this act will be rectified in short order. Mr. Speaker, under the Environmental Protection, Public Education and Capacity Building of Youth and Private Sector in Climate Action and Environmental and Social Safeguards, we had the Minamata Mercury Assessment, which was carried out to check that the lactating mothers or women of childbearing age across the Tri-Island state had no evidence of being exposed to high mercury. Also, an assessment of fish at the fish market was done as well to ensure that mercury was not bioaccumulating in fish that form part of the food chain for humans. And I commend the other side for endorsing such a project to come on board. Mr. Speaker, I now turn to the Basel, Rotterdam, and Stockholm Chemical Conventions. Managing and safely disposing of hazardous and corrosive chemicals are very important for Grenada, Mr. Speaker. The Basel, Rotterdam, and Stockholm Conventions set the obligations and regulations for the same. Therefore, Grenada has acceded to the conventions. And while the MP for St. Mark, through you, Mr. Speaker, made mention of the dates on which we became a signatory, there was no mention of the outstanding dues, which we are now in the process of addressing. So we're not just cutting down trees as they make the people perceive it to be. We are commending, and in most instances, Mr. Speaker, we are fixing the problems and we are transforming the sectors that we have the responsibility to transform. Mr. Speaker, Cabinet has only now approved a focal point for the Basel, Rotterdam, and Stockholm Conventions. I now move to the Green Climate Fund Enhanced Direct Access Project. Mr. Speaker, this project has a budget of US$6,386,000. So far, Mr. Speaker, $1,949,709.29 has been disbursed. The budget is expended in 2023 is US$4,436,290, Mr. Speaker, US dollars. Mr. Speaker, please note as well that these are not monies to be paid or loans to be paid back on the ordinary taxpayers and citizens' back. These are grant funds, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I wish to highlight that of the sum to be expended, US$900,000 is allocated to support 4 selected community projects in the area of climate resilient infrastructure. The shortlisted projects are the renovation of the TAM City Administrative and the Program for Adolescents PAM buildings, and the construction of a second floor of the preschool at Marquis St. Andrew. Upon completion, the listed buildings will have reinforced roof structures, solar PV, and rainwater harvesting options. That's transformation, Mr. Speaker. The preschool extension will be used as well as a hurricane shelter, Mr. Speaker. And the other proposal is being reviewed. Mr. Speaker, I now turn to the support for the update of the National Adaptation Plan through the Climate Resilient Water Sector in Grenada, or the G-Cruise project. Mr. Speaker, this project will facilitate the update of the National Adaptation Plan and the National Climate Change Policy. This updated National Adaptation Plan and Climate Change Policy will support identifying priority adaptation actions with associated costs to promote and support climate resilience within the Tri-Island State. The G-Cruise project will also support updating the building codes to include mandatory water harvesting, so it's not just in Carrico, Minister for Carrico and Petit Martinique. But we will ensure that all our building codes include mandatory water harvesting for all new buildings above a recommended floor size of 1,500 square feet. Mr. Speaker, the project will also assist in climate proofing of public infrastructure, including medical facilities, water supply infrastructure, and bridges, with an emphasis on disaster preparedness. Finally, this project, Mr. Speaker, will support the integration of renewable energy systems for NAWASA's water supply and distribution operations. This will contribute to the increase of renewable energy penetration in Grenada, Carrico, and Petit Martinique. And Mr. Speaker, for what it's worth, I don't need to go into any further details regarding the low implementation rate of this project, because I can't eloquently express it as how my comrade did last evening, Mr. Speaker. But all of this low implementation happened under the stewardship of the previous administration. And one thing that I grew up learning from my parents, Mr. Speaker, when you do good, we commend as well. And when you do bad, we tell you. And you shouldn't wait for somebody to tell you when you do bad. You should ask how you do so that you get an honest, constructive criticism. But, Mr. Speaker, we are moving along and we are transforming. What I can assure this Honorable House and the hard-working G-Cruise team is that whatever deficits or deficiencies you were faced with in the past, it will be remedied under my leadership, and the project will successfully be implemented in its timeline. Mr. Speaker, under the climate screening of PSIP projects, or public sector investment program projects, it is important to note that in 2023 will be the screen for climate risk determined measures for reducing the vulnerability of these projects where applicable. In this regard, at least 30 persons will be trained in the use of CCORA. The approved, and CCORA, Mr. Speaker, is the approved climate screening tool approved by the Caribbean Community Climate Change Center, or 5Cs. Mr. Speaker, with regards to environmental protection, public education, and capacity building of youth and private sector in climate action and environmental and social safeguards, 2023 will see an improved capacity building, including youth and private sector, along with the compliance with and use of support from multilateral environment agreements, in partnership with the local and regional private sector to explore climate resilience through relevant adaptation and mitigation actions, including technologies for climate resilient action, especially in the water and agriculture sector, for monitoring and management of ecosystems, including coastal and marine ecosystem health, and interception and management of waste streams, including plastic waste, in an integrated approach with key government and non-government partners. Mr. Speaker, I must also note that our ministry is working closely with the physical planning unit to address the whole EIA process, and so a draft manual has been developed and submitted for public comment. And Mr. Speaker, I must highlight that as we advance, we will strengthen and rekindle our partnership with civil society organizations as well. That is something that I promise, and I will keep it while in office, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, given our current energy situation, as we are not oblivious to the global trends in high cost of energy prices, and even more so for our own survival, this administration is committed to building, investing, and accelerating our actions towards transitioning to renewable energy. Mr. Speaker, renewable energy options are critical for the way forward. Analytical and advisory support to update the 2011 National Energy Policy was received from the World Bank, and we are working towards sustainable, low-carbon development of the energy sector. Mr. Speaker, the overall objective is to update the National Energy Policy 2011, a policy document with a 20-year vision accompanied by a 10-year action plan for the period 2022 to 2032, and to provide a corresponding implementation plan. This technical assistance will focus on the concrete steps and actions to achieve the goals and policies during the initial 3 to 4 years, a period between 2022 and 2026, with a corresponding monitoring framework. The purpose of this is to provide a clear roadmap of concrete actions that shall enable the timely accomplishment of goals included in the update of the National Energy Policy. The National Energy Policy, Mr. Speaker, is currently being drafted with intent to hold a first public consultation thereafter. Mr. Speaker, a key element to the successful outcome of this energy policy is the reconstitution of the National Energy Policy Steering Committee. Mr. Speaker, Grenada pledged to achieve the Nationally Determined Contributions, or NDCs, not the brand, under the UNFCCC framework to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 30% of 2010 by 2025, with an indicative reduction of 40% emissions of 2010 levels by 2030. The reinstatement of this committee, Mr. Speaker, is important for national guidance on energy policy for the country. It is important to note that our ministry will be working with the procurement department of the Ministry of Finance to revise the Procurement Act and include a Green Component Act. In addition, Mr. Speaker, our ministry has already engaged the World Bank to seek support for the preparation of the Energy Efficiency Act. Mr. Speaker, Grenada is presently, and has for well over 10 years now, receiving support from the International Renewable Energy Agency, or IRENA. The objectives are to support the revision of Grenada's nationally determined contribution ambition, which is 40% reduction on 2010 greenhouse gas emissions levels by 2030 through least cost mitigation abatement by doing these following things: undertaking technical analysis of renewable energy penetration in the power sector, assessment of potential mitigation measures in the power sector, identification and spatial characterization of mitigation options based on national circumstances, undertaking a technology plan for the decarbonization of the transport sector, conditional, of course, on timeline extension and funding, Mr. Speaker. Assessment of the feasibility of the electrification of high usage factor fleets in Grenada. IRENA will gather up-to-date information on GIS data, existing policies, national and sectoral plans, cost, technological readiness, market penetration of relevant renewable energy technologies, and national forecast and projections based on selected roadmaps and or agreed information. It is understood that this work will be completed, well, we're in the last year, so it should have been completed in 2022, and we will use the long-range energy alternatives planning, or LEAP, software tool and system. The government of Grenada is in discussion with the PERC, Mr. Speaker, the World Bank, and Greenlink about the Integrated Resource Plan. The advice is that the IRP should take a broader view of the electricity sector than just generating a capacity to include network development and resilience to evaluate the least levelized cost of developing the electricity system. To achieve this requires an understanding of the dynamic impacts of the grid from multiple generation assets and new loads. The World Bank provided a draft scope of works which, in addition to the regulatory requirements, has been incorporated into the scope and methodology. With support provided by the International Renewable Energy Agency, Mr. Speaker, through the Small Island Developing States Lighthouses Initiative, a series of online and in-person capacity building training on energy management and energy audits were conducted for both private and public sector personnel and the general public. These workshops were conducted to strengthen the capacity of the participants to be able to conduct energy audits and to better understand and manage energy consumption. In these capacity development sessions, over 100 participants from government ministries, statutory organizations, financial sectors got a better appreciation on the principles of energy conservation and management, with a focus on conducting an energy audit, identifying energy conservation measures in various sectors, calculating energy savings, and conducting financial analysis of energy efficiency and conservation interventions. And the minister on the member of parliament on the other side, through you, Mr. Speaker, said, give claps, but they don't listen, so they wouldn't hear when we are giving the praises. Yes? Mr. Speaker, 2022 has been a continually active year for the National Ozone Unit, as several implementation activities has been completed as part of the country's global effort at the national level to rid the planet of ozone-depleting substances. These accomplishments put Grenada in an excellent position to achieve a much earlier phase-out of these ozone-depleting substances ahead of the Montreal Protocol schedule. In fact, Mr. Speaker, in 2022, and I'm giving praises but they wouldn't hear, Mr. Speaker, over 84% of all ozone-depleting substances have already been phased out. The Montreal Protocol schedule for Grenada requires the country to phase out 67.5% by 2035, and we have surpassed that. So economic table had a member of parliament for St. George, Town of St. George. Mr. Speaker, the summary achievements in 2022 are as follows. After extensive consultations with multiple key stakeholders and working along with Grenada Bureau of Standards, energy efficiency labeling standards, and minimum energy performance standards, or we call it MEPS, for the refrigerating and air conditioning sector appliances, or we say the rack appliances, were established to ensure that only the most energy efficient rack appliances are imported into this country. And I hope the members on the other side are not importing these AC, air conditioning and refrigerating also depleting substances, Mr. Speaker, because there is a tendency to believe that young people don't know what they want. Young people can't hold leadership. Young people are little children in the house, Mr. Speaker, but yet still, based on the actions, you would wonder who the children really are. In the area of capacity development and training, Mr. Speaker, 20 custom officers and trade officers received training in monitoring and control of trade in ozone-depleting substances. That is another praise, a member of parliament, through you, Mr. Speaker, that we will give them a clap for. TAMCC, NULO, and two secondary schools, St. Mark Secondary and Boca Secondary, received state-of-the-art training equipment for their refrigeration and training programs at their respective institutions. For the first time, For the first time, Mr. Speaker, His Majesty Prison was among the recipients of training equipment from the National Ozone Unit to start a level one refrigeration and air conditioning program for inmates at the prison. And if it's anything that I have to take a card for, I will take a card for that. Our inmates, our young men. I visited the prison, Mr. Speaker, just a few weeks ago. Our young men and women, they are lost because they have been misled. There weren't any leaders to look up to in this country, Mr. Speaker. And so, when things like these happen for them, young people, political infants, and little children like myself, and those that I represent in St. John, they applaud things like that. And so I say hats off to the National Ozone Unit for doing something like that for the inmates at His Majesty Prison. Mr. Speaker, 2022 also saw the return of the National Ozone Unit Scholarship Program. This program provided full scholarships for 10 students, three of whom are females, to pursue the refrigeration and air conditioning program at TAMCC. Mr. Speaker, two students in my constituency of St. John were among the recipients, and I am happy for them, one of them being a female. The program would be extended in 2023, Mr. Speaker, and we're not cutting down all the trees. We are carrying some with us because we don't want the work to be harder. So the program would be extended in 2023, Mr. Speaker, to include refrigeration and air conditioning students attending NULO, the New Life Organization in Palmy, St. John. In the area of policy and legislation, the final round of public consultations was completed on the draft Ozone Depleting Substances Bill. This bill, when it becomes an Act of Parliament, will further strengthen the regulatory framework for the phase out and phase down of substances controlled under the Montreal Protocol by including provisions for storage, transport, disposal, resale, recovery and recycling of controlled substances, and the licensing of refrigeration and air conditioning technicians. Mr. Speaker, 2022 also saw the launch of phase two of the Cool Contributions Fighting Climate Change, CFO2. That was a project. The implementation activities of this project are in line with Grenada's National Cooling Action Plan. Under this project, support is provided for strengthening national policy instruments to facilitate a better market uptake of green cooling technologies and reduce the climate impact of cooling appliances. Mr. Speaker, we now move on to the Grenada Geothermal Energy Development. The Geothermal Energy Development Project is a multi-phase, long-term, renewable energy development that, on completion, aims to deliver 15 megawatts of baseload power to the national grid. The project is currently in its exploration drilling phase, which involves drilling two deep slim holes exploration wells, in one in St. John and one in St. Patrick, to confirm the existence of a viable geothermal source that will support utility-scale power generation. If confirmed, Mr. Speaker, and successfully developed, this will supply almost half of Grenada's demand for electricity. It will offset 5.5 million gallons of imported diesel per annum and will avoid the emission of more than 25 million tons of carbon equivalent over 25 years, thereby allowing Grenada to be able to achieve its ambitious renewable energy and greenhouse gas targets numbers. And if the member on the other side, Mr. Speaker, through you, did not understand transformation and did not understand what Vision 2035 means, that is an example of one. Mr. Speaker, the project is being implemented in keeping with the highest environmental and social standards and safeguards, and with commensurate levels of stakeholder engagement. The current exploration drilling phase of the project is being financed by grants. I mean, lucky and we're thankful for grants. Those in climate finance who negotiate for finance, they will know and appreciate how grants is important for small island like ours. Mr. Speaker, the exploration drilling phase of the project is being financed by grants and technical assistance provided by the Caribbean Development Bank and by this government. And this government is grateful for the generous financial support as well as the technical assistance provided by the governments of Japan and New Zealand. And hats off to those in the geothermal unit who is here with us today. Mr. Speaker, a summary of key 2022 activities includes an environmental and social impact assessment, or ESIA, is currently being implemented with an expanded scope of work. A review of the project's technical scope and design per the available grant budget was completed, and preliminary engineering drawings for the exploration drilling infrastructure were finalized. Additional CDB grant financing was procured for continued project support, including additional funding for an expanded scope ESIA. A high-level inter-ministerial geothermal working group was established. A land liaison consultant was engaged to facilitate focused discussions with affected landowners. Ongoing community and landowner engagement activities continued throughout the period. Mr. Speaker, I also have the summary of key 2023 projections. The following key activities are scheduled to be completed in 2023, Mr. Speaker. Completion of the ESIA, including a hydrogeological study at the St. Patrick's site, and publication of the draft ESIA for public review and comment before finalization. So this government, Mr. Speaker, is not just doing things on their own. We are consulting all people involved in this process. Mr. Speaker, our 2023 priorities would be procurement and performance of contracts of geotechnical investigations and for infrastructure development to support the exploration drilling, procurement of an integrated services drilling contractor and award of a drilling contract, and ongoing public information, communications, and stakeholder engagement. Mr. Speaker, the government of Grenada received a grant of US $3.2 million from the United Arab Emirates Caribbean Renewable Project to develop a solar PV hybrid or battery storage plant in Limne Karaku. Pardon for me brutalizing your community, Minister for Karaku and Piti Matnik, Limne Karaku. The project started in the quarter of 2018, Mr. Speaker. Almost 5 years to implement a solar PV hybrid battery storage plant in Limle Karaku. Almost 5 years. But rest assured, Mr. Speaker, it will be completed in 2023. Mr. Speaker, it is expected that this project will contribute significantly to the efforts to transition from fossil fuel economies to options of renewable energy and low carbon economy. Arrangements were made through PERC to facilitate the interconnection with Greenlink, which is an important signal relative to the renewable energy ambitions of Grenada as expressed in the Electricity Act of 2016 and the National Energy Policy. The benefits of this project are as follows, Mr. Speaker. Once operational, it is expected to achieve savings of 60% in diesel fuel imported into Karaku for electricity generation. That is transformation. You can knock it again, member from Tom of St. George. Yes. And I like you, so I hear you ask the member, through you, Mr. Speaker, we're picking on you today because we want you to come back home. Yes. Bring others with you too. But Mr. Speaker, on a more serious note, currently, the operations in Carico are subsidized by the mainland, by mainland Grenada. Mr. Speaker, involvement of local contractors in operation and maintenance for the solar PV hybrid storage plant, capacity building and hands-on training of local residents is critical for the effective management of the plant and sustainability of the project. Mr. Speaker, the Government of Grenada is responsible for the environmental impact assessment. It is still pending, 5 years. But thankfully, we have the Ministry of Mobilization, Implementation, and
Transformation.
And thankfully, we have a political infant who understands strategy and who didn't grow up with much money. I know that when money cannot be spent, it goes back. We broke as a country. We can't send back monies. So we will ensure that when this draft manual is ready to conduct real, serious environmental assessments, in consultation with the planning unit, Mr. Speaker, that this EIA that is still pending over 5 years will be completed in short order. And as I said before, Mr. Speaker, the plan commission date, is April 2023. So I give a month and a date. So it's not pie in the sky, it's pie on the plate, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, with regards to statutory bodies, we have the Grenada Solid Waste Management Authority. The management of solid waste is a priority area of the Government of Grenada to protect health and the environment and sustain well-being among our citizens and residents. And when I hear, Mr. Speaker, we'll leave that for another time. Mr. Speaker, solid waste management services in Grenada continue to expand to meet the development needs through collection of environmental levies to offset the operational expenses of the solid waste management, including payments for contracted private sanitization services. Furthermore, effective solid waste management is contributing to advancement of the targets of at least 9 sustainable development goals and 8 outcomes of the National Sustainable Development Plan 2020 to 2030. During 2023, the Government of Grenada is committed to increasing investments in solid waste management, development of facilities, and institutional strengthening of the Grenada Solid Waste Management to deliver on its mandate. Mr. Speaker, the works at the Perseverant landfill is near completion. And through you again, Mr. Speaker, when I heard the MP on the other side made mention to Perseverance, and she said she don't know what is happening in Perseverance, yes, yesterday during her presentation to the House, I was wondering where the dialogue was going. And then I was left unappeased. So I'm hoping to hear, or maybe most people in my constituency, Mr. Speaker, they used to wonder, during the last 9.5 years, they used to wonder, well, who is really the MP for St. John? Is it the MP in St. Mark or the real MP that they voted for in St. John? So maybe we could have a bilateral in the constituency of St. John and Perseverance. And of course, with you being a medical professional, I would anticipate that you would be happy to assist the Grenada Solid Waste Management in all aspects of this project. Mr. Speaker, the commissioning date for the $12 million EC dollars investment through a CDB loan is January 2023. This facility will improve how we manage our solid waste.
Honorable MP, let me interrupt you and advise that you have 5 minutes left on your allotted time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we can leave Carico for now, but very briefly, Mr. Speaker, in 2023, we would also see an improvement and solid waste disposal facilities for the Sister Isle of Karakou. And so we are moving to securing the facility with an integrated security and litter control fence, which will commence in January 2023, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, while I would love to spend a lot more time to help the members in this honorable house, to help our citizens understand what is the Ministry of Climate Resilience, the Environment and Renewable Energy, I also want to pay, at least I hope I do justice in the time given, but I would beg for an additional 2 minutes on that, Mr. Speaker, to the people who placed their confidence in me in St. John. But before I go there, Mr. Speaker, during my, when I got my portfolio to become the minister, 17 days in office, I traveled to Germany. The team worked really hard to prepare me and I did justice for them there. I then, when I attended the Petersburg Dialogue, I then went on to the meeting of the parties in Montreal, Canada. This is a stakeholders, well, parties and other stakeholders, they convened for the meeting and Grenada was represented by myself, as I said, and the National Ozone Officer. And the Montreal Protocol has a very interesting mandate that I was blown by to see how small our national ozone unit is and to see how well he represented Grenada in MOP. I am proud and we will expand that unit, Mr. Speaker, so that more young people can get the training from now so that we don't drop the ball. And not only for MOP or for the National Ozone Unit, Mr. Speaker, very soon down the line, we want to see more of my predecessor who has elevated into that high job in the UNFCCC. We want to see more for young people there, not just one individual, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I also attended the Conference of Parties, COP27, in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. And I am happy to report that our delegation actively participated in the conference activities and contributed to a successful outcome. Grenada's delegation, youthful of course, Mr. Speaker, in the main with some senior negotiators and properly and appropriately gender responsive, while being proud to witness our delegation in technical negotiations and outreach activities, I had the honor to deliver our national statement on climate state programming to the international audience and participated in several ministerial sessions, side events, and bilateral meetings geared to leverage resources for national development. Not no little children around here, Mr. Speaker. And so, Mr. Speaker, as I wrap up, and as I have mentioned earlier, I was elected by the people of St. John, and I intend to give them true representation, something they have been lacking for the past decade. With this, let's look at what has been accomplished in our beautiful parish thus far. Under infrastructure, when I got elected, Mr. Speaker, I was immediately drawn to what would have been a national disaster for the people of St. John, closure to be exact. Due to the significant amount of construction that was going on simultaneously, just shy of 3 months before the election was called, two major roads were decided to be rehabilitated, Mr. Speaker, causing excessive strain on the road leading to Clogy. The road was undermined, Mr. Speaker. It was undermined from water because Clogy is a basin, is water. The road was undermined. And the further use of the trucks to help build these two major roads that has caused significant loss to small business in the area, the road was almost broken. And immediately I spoke to my good minister of infrastructure, and he worked magic for us. And to date, Mr. Speaker, that road is almost complete and the people of Closure is happy. Mr. Speaker, just after all of the heavy rainfalls during the last few weeks, I was not on island when it happened, but my research assistant, and I have to big up you, Sweeney, my hard-working research assistant, whenever somebody called, he's there, went up quickly in Loreto to see what was happening. One of our single mothers in that area, Mr. Speaker, was almost to lose her house. And the sub-office of the Ministry of Infrastructure immediately stepped in. In little or no time, the engineers came up, did their assessment, and work has started and is almost complete on that retaining wall in Loreto. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, during the last 3 to 2 or 5, because the project was, residents were told that the project, and Mr. Speaker, I'm going to wrap up and I'm going to beg you for 2 minutes or 1 minute or 60 seconds. I'm going to settle for 60 seconds.
You're comfortable with this? I'm going to give you 4 minutes.
Thank
60 seconds
you.
Is fine. 4 minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That road was delayed and delayed and delayed. They were doing some construction on a culvert. There was the main road, an old road, Marigot, those who are familiar with the area, and then there is old road down on the inside. So what had happened was, because the projects, again, no planning at all, Mr. Speaker, both of them happened at the same time. I'm not blaming nobody, because I don't know all the facts, but I'm only speaking as I see it, Mr. Speaker. And I am not new to construction. My father is a contractor, so I know. Mr. Speaker, the residents in Old Road didn't have an access out with their vehicles. So when the elders come down with their groceries, there was an incident one night. A young lady called me. One of our elderly neighbors, she had an emergency. The ambulance could not have gone down to Old Road. And Old Road is a forbidden place. They said that they are forbidden. When I went there, I walked there more times than the past MP for the area did in 9.5 years. And they have been forgotten. And Mr. Speaker, when I saw that they had no access in case of an emergency, and if they get a barrel, they have to empty it on the side of the main road, I immediately stepped in and asked my road officer if there was anything that can be done to have the alternate route on the other end, but not out of Black Bay, fixed, at least temporarily, so that they can have access should an emergency occur, and just for mere privacy to do their business. And within a matter of days, she said, yes, we are going to get it done. And she did. All of the road was not pitched at the same time, Mr. Speaker, because of access to the resources to have it pitched. But I got confirmation this morning that it is almost complete. So even after that project is finished, the residents in Old Road, Marigot, and Black Bay have an alternative route. Should anything happen on that end, they have another access out. Mr. Speaker, we have Brother Main Road, as I mentioned before, and Loreto Mount Millet Road. Now, Mount Millet Road is a whole set of mix-up thing. And I'm not going to go there, Mr. Speaker, because we are transforming and we are moving forward. And maybe we might make the same mistakes too, as the other members on the other side, through you, Mr. Speaker, resoundingly told us. And we have to be honest, maybe we will as well. So I wouldn't go down to the political aspect of that road. But what I want to reassure the people of St. John, to the small businessman and businesswoman, to the school boys and girls of the St. John's Christian Secondary School, who is prepared, as I was told on my way down here this morning, that they are ready to write a petition because they have no access to the school now. No access. When they pass, the students and the teachers, their school socks, their school shoes, their clothes get dirty. We are working to move this project forward, Mr. Speaker. For whatever reason it was stopped, I didn't get a report. I waited, but I'm not going to wait no more because the people voted for a real, honest, and implementing leadership and transformation. And so I would seek the information and I would meet the residents there and have a chat with them very soon, Mr. Speaker. Finally, Mr. Speaker, with regards to sports, a number of our primary schools in the constituency have been sending complaints that they are left without coaches. They want to get the students to practice physical education. Sports season is coming up and there is no coaches. And I was happy to hear that the Minister for Sports said that coaches will be sent out to the schools. So Concord Government School, your coach is almost there in the new school term come January. Mr. Speaker, with regards to the housing, yes, it was a plan of the past administration, Mr. Speaker, but the Stony Gout housing that was planned then has been transformed. And so, very soon, the people of St. John will have a climate resilient housing development of 30 Grenadian-style family homes in St. John, bringing pride to the people. Mr. Speaker, when we got into office, we had over 71 applications and so for housing needs, bathroom and toilet needs, Mr. Speaker. We are currently in the process of going out in the field, getting the data to see if these people are really in need. What we have been able to observe, Mr. Speaker, is that while our measures now put in place for us to have one standard shape, one standard size of housing or bathroom and toilet, we realize some of our people who are amputee, they may not be able to have that access because if they add a ramp, it brings up the cost. Sometimes it goes beyond the allocated budget. And so we are trying to ensure that whatever we do in St. John, really and truly transform the lives of every citizen, Mr. Speaker. And so with that, I want to say thank you to the people of St. John for placing your trust in me, and rest assured that this political infant will never let you down in this honorable house. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable MP for St. John, for your contribution.